Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, Matt Ford.
And me, John Richardson. This is the podcast where we follow the highs and lows of fantasy football.
Joining us on the show this week is West Brom Ultra, Adrian Childs.
Ultras, is it?
That's what I've heard.
He's a bad boy, isn't he?
Oh, he's a naughty, naughty man.
They're having trouble, aren't they, the West Bromwich Albions?
You what?
They're having trouble, aren't they, the West Bromwich Albions?
They are, yeah. Do you take pleasure in that?
No, not really. I've nothing against West Brom. I think they're one of those sort of teams that most people find inoffensive, excepting, yes, of course, the other teams in the West Midlands. They're there or thereabouts, aren't they? They don't do anyone any harm. They're a bee, not a wasp.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, bees are actively good, aren't they? I'm a big fan of bees. Whereas I hate wasps.
You were a big fan of that one that landed on you when we were on our way to the England game.
I shit myself.
You did
if it lands on you, you're scared, obviously, aren't you? Because their sting can hurt. And for me, sufferer of anaphylaxis, it can be lethal. Mm-hmm. So that was a near-death experience for me. And I thought, in that context, I handled it very well.
Were you pleased with how I helped you out by sort of slowly backing away from you?
You shit yourself as well, didn't you? That was the problem. You squealed and ran over the road and just left me there.
Shit both of ourselves.
With a lethal bee.
Yeah.
Lethal bee sounds like a good, I guess, lethal bizzle. Maybe that's where he got it from. Maybe he suffers from anaphylaxis.
Possibly. Let's get him on the show and ask him.
I'd be up for that. So
Childs, he'll probably put us in touch.
Childs, he's probably knocked him out before. I bet those two can't be in the same room together.
Yeah, I know, Bizzle.
Or knocked him out at Alfreton train station. Of course I wasn't meant to be there, but there was a traffic... We can't impersonate a man when he's about to come on, can we? That is deeply, deeply offensive.
No, I would have stopped it. You can't impersonate the man.
So, as we record, John, I'm ahead 61 points to your 57. There are 4 points in it. You've got one last player to play, and it is Nottingham Forest's Nico Williams, who I benched along with my other two Forest players.
Yeah, you benched all three of your Forest players this week, didn't you, Snake?
You know what? I should have put... I've forgotten to... Because did Jenko play yesterday?
No, he didn't. So, the good news for you is that... Well, no, that's good news for you, because the bad news for me is that Reece James came on for about a minute and a half of Chelsea's simple clean sheet. So had James either played the full game, I would have got probably 6 or 7 points. Had he not come on at all, I would have got Eric Dier off the bench for 6 points, and I would be ahead at this point and fairly confident of a win. You've actually benefited from Zinchenko not playing at all, which means you do still have Jesse Lingard.
I do, but I think Williams is the best Forest player for points, so you've
Well, if you keep a clean sheet tonight, then I'm not going to lie to you. I'd written this week off when the James incident happened. I've made some big mistakes. Do you know what I mean? Madison only got 1 point this week. Mo Salah's got to go. I look forward to spending that money this week. It's like losing a tooth. It's been painful, but I'm going to get some money. So Salah's had his chips. He's out of here. I shall spend that money, hopefully, to bring in... What I can't do is bring in the players you've got. I want Almiron, but I'm not going to do that because it makes the game boring. And I want Cancelo. I'm not going to lie to you. I might do that anyway.
Copycat.
But I'd sort of written this week off, and seeing now that there's only these few points in it, and that I got to tell you, nothing would make me happier than a nil-nil Forest Villa. Lingard gets the nominal 2 points, and maybe Nico Williams gets 6 or 7, and I beat you because of Forest's success. I think that would bring me great joy.
I know it would. I mean, obviously, the flip side of that would mean that Forest had done well, so that would be good.
Is nil-nil doing well? I guess for you guys, sure.
Points on the board would be good.
What made you... I mean, obviously... You put Zinchenko in. I understand Arsenal are flying. They were always going to concede against Liverpool, even if he had played. So you have more faith in Arsenal keeping a clean sheet against Liverpool, more faith in Palace keeping a clean sheet against Leeds, than you do in Forest at home to fellow strugglers, let's be honest, Aston Villa.
John, there are two separate things here. One is my loyalty and love of Nottingham Forest. I want to win every game they play. And second, cold, hard, brutal reality of FPL. Mm-hmm. There is no point playing this game to lose, is there? I have to make rational decisions, often in the fog of war.
But that's what I'm saying. Even I, as a neutral, I decided that it was more worth putting Nico Williams in against Aston Villa than it was putting Eric Dier in, because I thought, well, do you know what? Tottenham would probably concede in that game. As it happens, they didn't. I made a big mistake. But I would have thought that you, even neutrally, even using your, what you call your cold, hard, brutal FPL head, would have said, is it more likely that Liverpool will knock one in against Arsenal or Villa will against Nottingham Forest? So where's your head at? You think Forest are going to get thrashed.
The decision I took based on the evidence available at the time. And in FPL, the only thing you can give to the league is your judgment. Mm-hmm. And when the time comes when you feel like your judgment is compromised, then it's time to have some very difficult conversations. As you say, you called it wrong on Eric Dier.
I did.
Yeah. So to sit here and make out that these things are obvious when the game hasn't been played yet, I think is very, very dangerous. And I think it spreads poison into the FPL community to judge these things before they've happened. And I think you should reflect on your choice of words and what it does to our game.
The big mistake I made was Reece James, and I kept him in. We're now getting to that point where the big sides are going to start resting players, and we'll see what knock-on effect that has on FPL. I will say this, at least I didn't play my wild card specifically to bring in Reece James, as did our producer Danny Carr this week. So I dare say he's spitting feathers on the other end of the line.
I'm furious. I took out Cancelo and Martinelli.
Oh,
God. Bye.
Oh, bye.
That is 30 terrible. Points taken out for the gain of one. That's a net loss of 29 points for producer Danny there. Top of the league remains, I mean, amazing to say it really, Hemorrhoid FC, Joe Wilkinson, remains top of the league. But I tell you what, breathing down his neck, it's those two snakes again, Ian Sterling and Russell Howard, both in the 70s this week. The Liverpool boys, the FPL nerds. Can I call them the sexy guys?
They're both good-looking fellas, aren't they? Let's
Shall
be honest.
Do that?
Yeah, the sexy guys.
So we've discussed our teams, we've discussed the league. Let's get a categorical end to the mathematical FPL chat with 4D Stat Pack.
Okay, so it's not the Rat Pack, it's not the Brat Pack, it's 4D Stat Pack. The team of the week, let me just get this up. So the highest scoring goalkeeper was Lloris with 10 points. Cancelo with 18, I brought him in, lovely. Romero with 8 for Spurs. Koulibaly for Chelsea with 8 points. Across that middle, if you played with a five-man midfield, you would have wanted Bruno with 15 points.
No, full name please. I'm excited to hear the full name.
Bruno Guimarães. Is that right?
Yeah, it'll do for me. I like it.
Saka with 50. Bruno Guimarães.
Okay, 15 points. Don't talk about Bruno no more.
Yes, Saka with 15 points. Martinelli with 12. Mount with 12. Good for England. I mean, think about that. Foden with 11. Foden, Mount and Saka. Great news for England.
You like
and
to see it, don't you?
Top Scamacca for West Ham, who I'm starting to look at with hungry eyes. And Ronaldo scoring his 700th league goal with 9 points. I don't get that then. Surely Haaland was a better pick.
What did Haaland get this week? I don't think he got... Oh, he got 12.
Yeah. So what's going on?
Oh, no, he didn't. He got 6, but we captained him.
Oh, God, I'm thick.
You're a stupid prick.
I'm a dumbass.
Do you want me to talk to you about Scamacca, who I own? He's my possession. I own him.
Go on, then.
I don't know. He's
great opinion, mate.
For me, if he scores, fine. If he doesn't, he's going to come off at half-time for Antonio once Antonio is rested and fit.
Yeah.
So do you want... I don't want him, I'll tell you that now. I'm having trouble up front. I cannot afford the next level premium strikers. There's this mid-range of strikers we're looking at, your Scamacca's, your Bamfords. What you've got this season, a difficult situation. A lot of those sort of cheeky sort of strikers, your Almirons, your Trossards, your Rodrigos at Leeds, they're midfielders.
Goal-scoring midfielders. FPL.
So you've got a loaded midfield. I mean, not a problem this week because Salah's out of here. He's gone. He's finished. Good news for those who are going to bring him in next week because no doubt he'll score a hat-trick, but I'm getting rid of him so I can beef up that midfield somewhat. But that up front, you know, there's a couple, and I think Joe Wilkinson's one, who've got Kane and Haaland up front. Yeah. That's a quarter of your budget gone on two players.
Yeah, but he's top of the league. Without, it's working.
That's without your De Bruyne's, your Son's, you know, your Salah's.
You've got to learn from the winners, John.
Your Trent's.
Learn from the winners.
Yeah, absolutely. Do I want to be learning from Joe Wilkinson? Am I there yet? Am I a comfortable enough man to admit that the man is outperforming me? No, I'm not. Let's move on. Well, I'm delighted to say that I am joined this week by the wonderful Adrian Childs, wearing, if I'm not mistaken, was that a Cyril Regis hoodie and drinking from a West Brom mug?
That is, that's correct, yes.
Fully on message. I'm supposed to start by asking you about FPL. I'm itching to get onto West Brom because it's been a very exciting week. But do you or have you ever played fantasy football?
I tried once, got into it, and then got out of it about an hour and a half later. I just see the lads around me at the Albion who do it. It seems to change their relationship with the game, and they're looking at the phones. What's more than the actual match?
That may be a symptom of recent West Brom matches.
Yeah, but my brother stopped doing it. He just said it's just getting too much. You know, you just get obsessed with it, and I've got enough things I'm obsessed with, so I didn't want to add that to it. And I don't like the way it sort of started to inveigle itself into proper football coverage, you know, when they start talking about it on Football Focus and stuff,
yes,
and Final Score, and The Athletic have got somebody looking at it and everything. It's, look, if that's the way it's going, I don't want to be the kind of old fart, John, who, you know, doesn't move with the world, who says everything was better in his day. So each to their own. I don't criticise it. I just not. I don't want to be part of it.
It is, you're right that it is an addiction, which is why we milk that by doing a podcast about it.
Yeah.
I think it's, so last season when me and Fordy played, obviously Fordy were in the championship, he was worse at it because it is more of a full-time job. If you're watching Premier League football anyway, because your team's there, you sort of know the players, you sort of know the rotations. If your team is lower down and you're fully invested in that team, you do have to make a conscious effort to then learn about the Brighton squad in a way that you just wouldn't, I think. Yeah. The championship is such, it is already, there's more games in it. You're obviously, then you're involved in all the cup competitions. Following a club in the championship is a full-time and very stressful job anyway.
Yeah, that's true. But interestingly, what I've struggled with professionally, and which certainly wouldn't help me in FPL, is that my interest in football generally is entirely dependent on how the Albion are doing.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So, well, I mean, look, it's held me back. I'm not particularly proud of this, but I'm doing match of the day too, you know, when we were in and out of the Premier League then. I mean, if the Albion had lost, actually, whichever division we were in, if the Albion had lost, you know, I'd drive away from the ground. I wouldn't even listen to Sports Report. I'd put some sad music on, like Foray's Requiem Mass. And I'd go into work the following day to do match of the day on Sunday. I'd go in at 1 o'clock and the producer would go, oh, Liverpool yesterday or something. I'd go, yeah. I literally wouldn't know what the scores were. I just had, the only way I could deal with it was to just turn away, was to just ignore it, pretend none of it had happened. So, you know, that would hold me back with FPL as it probably held me back in my football broadcasting career because we were normally hopeless. So I was normally short of interest.
So let's talk briefly about West Brom at the minute. Okay. I won't dwell on it, but obviously we're talking to you in the week that Steve Bruce has been sacked.
Yeah.
What did you make of all that? Because my knowledge of West Brom is basically what I see on Twitter, and he seemed to be trending on an almost sort of every other day basis.
Well, I've got this thing which you're welcome to take part in whenever you have any thoughts. You take any manager in football.
Mm-hmm.
After them is a number, right? And that number is the number of consecutive games they can lose from this moment before they get sacked.
Right.
Right. So every manager, no matter who, has got that number after their names. So Klopp at the moment, what is it? What do you reckon? If he lost the next six games, would he get sacked? Even with his record? Guardiola, even he's probably on sort of, I don't know, seven games? How many consecutive games could Man City lose before Guardiola got the heave-ho?
I'd say into double figures. I say he could do 10 just because of stuff.
Guardiola, with that squad, with Haaland and everything, he could lose 10 games and still not get the push. I'm not sure. All I'm saying to you is on that metric, right, Steve Bruce has been on one game for about sort of 6 months now. I mean, he's not the big, you know, isn't the biggest problem, you know, at the club.
No, well, that's what I'm getting at, I guess, because, you know, from a sort of outsider's perspective, Steve Bruce clearly isn't one of the worst managers in football, but the vitriol, you know, pointed at him. So
the vitriol is, I mean, the club is, you know, it's not clear who's in charge. There's a Chinese businessman called Mr. Lai, who
right now
is in China, is rarely seen over here. It's not absolutely clear. It's actually him who owns it, but he's the name on it. And nobody really knows who's in charge. Everyone knows he wants to sell. You know, it's just the problem. It's very, very little you can do to get rid of an owner as a fan. So you can get a manager the sack by just making their lives a misery. Effectively, you can. If enough people around the ground start booing and hissing all the time. With the owner, it's a bit like being a Republican, you know, that you can't get rid of the monarch. No matter what the monarch does, there's nothing you can do about it. Whereas, you know, with a politician, in this analogy, you know, you can vote a politician out. You know, it's a bit like that. You know, you're stuck with the owner, but managers come and go. So, I think to some extent, he's borne the brunt of that anger. He's the outlet for that anger. But on the other hand, with the squad we've got, you know, we shouldn't be where we are. We've got some half-decent players.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And there's some good names on the list. Chris Wilder, Sean Dyche, Scott Parker, proven promotion winning managers.
Well, we've had a lot of proven managers, you know, who've had success down the line. I mean, look, Bruce, okay, and an unhappy time at Newcastle. The Hull fans won't have a bad word said against him. You know, even Allardyce has had his time, Pardew. You know, Pulis kept us up, arguably playing anti-football. But somebody said to me, oh, we'll get one of the usual suspects. But I mean, I said, well, we can't without, because we've had them all now. They've had the Grand Slam, Pulis, Pardew, Allardyce and Bruce. You know, who else is there? But I mean, any of those managers they speak to, they'll say, right, what's the plan at this club? I mean, no, nobody there will be able to tell them because nobody actually knows, you know, so...
No, and the other alternative is when people say that, oh, we'll get one of the usual suspects, is you're in a position where you're in trouble and then you go for a sort of wild card name and nobody's going to like that either because then you're going to get there, well, they've never managed at this level and they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So who would you... Do you have a preferred candidate?
I've got almost a morbid fascination with Roy Keane doing
current
it.
Current favourite.
I know Roy and, I mean, you know, and I still think he's got a management job in him. I still, you know, in his heart, I don't think he wants to be a pundit. I think he wants to be a manager.
In his heart, I don't think he wants to be anything. Did you see the footage of him this weekend turning down a selfie?
Yeah.
There's an anger deep in the heart of that man that is absolutely hilarious. Because I watched it a few times. I think he's clearly mouthing, let's do it after the game. You know, he's not saying no, but he's saying it in such a way that says, but equally, if you were to die in the next 7 minutes, I'd be fine with that as well.
Yeah. So, look, it gets on his nerves, that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Probably loses a loss. Like, in the end, you expend a lot less energy.
Oh, 100%. Doing
it rather than objecting to it, you know.
Absolutely. Have the picture, get up, 33 seconds, and then you're not on Twitter.
But I think... You know, if you market yourself as Mr. Cheeky Chappy Nice Guy.
And I do.
Right. And then you refuse to have a selfie. Then that's a bit beneath contempt. But, I mean, everyone knows Roy's about. So,
yes.
You know, so, ask at your own risk.
And I guess in that sense, the guy who went up has probably got a better story than if he'd had he'd have a picture with him and a grumpy Roy Keane, or he gets to say, Roy Keane told me to f*** off in the middle of a football game.
Yeah.
It's probably what he wanted. So he's the current favourite. He's also in your book. So we should talk about the book because
the
book is The Good Drinker. And it comes off the back of, I think a lot of people will have seen the documentary you did, which we spoke about the last time I saw you. I absolutely loved. It's very sort of triggering because it's about, what would you call it? Not undiagnosed alcoholism is maybe a bit harsh, but certainly when you drink too much, but as you would say, you don't look like what you understand an alcoholic to look like.
No, I don't think I believe in alcoholism as a disease, because if it's a disease, that it's something you have or haven't got. And it's quite easy as a big drinker to convince yourself you haven't got it. There's, you know, you can say, well, you know, I don't sleep on a park bench, which is how a brilliant Alcoholics Anonymous sort of advertising campaign put it. Just because you don't sleep on a park bench doesn't mean you're not an alcoholic. I mean, I wouldn't phrase it like that. I'd say just because you don't sleep on a park bench doesn't mean you've got some dependence on alcohol. I mean, with me, you know, I couldn't say I didn't have a dependence on alcohol. I was drinking every day. All right, I wasn't getting smashed. I wasn't getting hangovers. You know, it wasn't really outwardly affecting me. But, you know, how could I say I wasn't addicted to alcohol if I was just drinking every day? So it's addressing the kind of big drinkers who think they can drink with impunity. Well, in the end, A, it will catch up with you. B, you know, drinking less enables you to enjoy it more. You know, I really believe that.
Well, that's what I think is really interesting about the documentary, because obviously a lot of those things are made by sort of recovering alcoholics, and there's a sort of weight to them. And there's an element of your book and the document. It's almost a love letter to drinking well, isn't it? It's almost saying if you love this and you think it's fun, then work out a way that you can do it for a long time.
Exactly.
You talk about Tommy Doherty in the book, the manager, who said if I'd known I was going to live this long, I'd have looked after myself better. And you're almost encouraging people plan ahead so that you can. I love that thing you say about I want to be able to in 20 and 30 years walk into a pub of an afternoon with a paper, have a couple of pints, and know I can stop after those couple of pints.
Yeah, and also know that I've knackered my liver.
Yes.
I don't know whether you saw the bit about Paul Cook, who's the drummer in the Sex Pistols. He's a mate of mine, because actually he drinks in my local pub. And after the documentary came out, he'd say to me, oh, God, I'd just like a couple of pints. Do you think that's too much? You know, when I come out, I said, Cookie, you know, after what you went through in the 70s, I think this is mild. And I said, how come you weren't addicted to heroin? He said, oh, I was. But you know, I said, how'd you get off it? He said, oh, no, I just did. And then he said something interesting. He said, the tragedy with heroin, it was wasted on young twats like me. He said, because when you really need it, he said, when you really need it is when you're old, you know, you're knackered, your leg's hurting, you know, you just want to get down the pub, but you're in too much pain or whatever. That's when you need heroin. He said, trust me, I'll be on the gear the whole time when I'm that old. I don't think he was being entirely serious, but that's kind of the same thought, you know, save the alcohol.
I bring up Roy Keane because he's in the book, the quote of his that, you know, it's very easy to always find an excuse to drink, either because work has gone well or work has gone badly, or you've had a lot on or you haven't had anything on.
Yeah.
And that's the bit I think that's really interesting in the book. And I think if you drink, you surround yourself with people who drink, and you suddenly think the outliers are the people who don't drink anything at all. That actually, when you do meet someone who's teetotal or just doesn't drink during the week, you think, oh, they're weird. But you were saying in the book, there are so many more of them than us.
I mean, that it fascinates me. And it was actually, it was a good 6 months after the documentary finished when I realised I'd slightly been looking at the whole thing through the wrong end of the telescope, because I'd been talking about problem drinkers like me. And I'd been conforming to the idea that, well, everybody drinks too much. But, you know, that is just a lie that big drinkers tell themselves. The most compelling research I've seen, or the most believable, if you like, says that of all drinkers, so set aside the teetotalers you just mentioned, people who aren't drinking for religious reasons or, you know, maybe they're recovering alcoholics, but anyway, don't trust a drop. Of all drinkers, like, what percentage are drinking 14 units or less, i.e. within the guidelines? You know, 14 units basically being 7 pints a week, right? 14 units a week is the guideline. Now, you ask most drinkers what percentage of drinkers are drinking that little, as they'd see it, they'd say none. Mostly you get when I ask people that question, I get the answer none, or maybe sort of 5%. Well, the answer is 70%.
Wow.
So 70% of all drinkers are drinking 14 units or less. You know, but and I think that's a better way that the public health messaging should look at it. Say, look, you know, most drinkers are drinking within the guidelines. So be like one of them. You know, it's us who are the outlier.
Yes, absolutely. And the book's full of practical tips as well, isn't it, for continuing to drink but drinking less. And I think that's its strength, because certainly for me, the book that made me go vegan was a book called Eating Animals. And that's written by a guy who wants to eat meat. That's written by a guy who says, look, I've got kids. I want to watch them eat a big roast chicken dinner, and I want to have a steak on my birthday. But here are the reasons why I've chosen not to do that. And your book is the same. It says, you know, I understand that impulse to have a pint with the paper and a couple of pints of the footman, and here's how you can do that long term. So it's called The Good Drinker, How I Learned to Love Drinking Less, and it's out now. It's a good point to bring in that Matthew is not with us because he was at the Forest game last night, so he's currently hungover on a train, having celebrated a fantastic point for Nottingham Forest, and we wish them all
the
best.
There was something dead about that game. I was busy, I switched it on, and it's one of those, you know, when you switch your telly on, and it was already on that channel, you expect to hear the roar.
Yes.
You know, a buzz before the picture comes on properly and you can hear the, you know. And then it was like I turned onto a nature program or nothing or something. And the game was going on. It was just all rather quiet.
I was in Nottingham last night on tour. So I was in the same city, 8 o'clock kickoff. And I said to the audience, like, I'm not going to tell you not to check your phones because I know you're going to anyway. So let's have a chat and check the score. And honestly, the game sort of didn't impinge on the gig at all. I think it was when Forest fans were like, oh, I don't mind that. I've missed that one. It doesn't sound like it was any great shakes, but it's a point for them. And can I just say on behalf of all Leeds fans, I hope they get two more this season. But Fordy would not want me to not ask. He's become obsessed with it. I used the word shit eater on the podcast a few weeks ago, and Fordy's become obsessed with it. And he wants me to ask all of the people we interview if they've ever either called someone or been called a shit eater.
No.
No. Good. He would want me to ask as well, we have some disagreement about the pronunciation of Jack G's name. Grealish, Greylish, Grey Irish. You're a native of that neck of the woods. How do you say it?
I pronounce it twat. I'm joking. No, I'll go Grealish.
Grealish. I'll take your first answer. Mm-hmm. And also,
can I ask you a question? Sorry, just briefly.
Yes, go on.
You know, because during the last days of Steve Bruce, a lot of people were mentioning the C word being cabbage. Because obviously at Villa, he had a cabbage thrown at him.
Yes.
But just, it's never, I've asked a number of Villa fans this, it's never emerged who the cabbage thrower was.
Do you want us to try and hunt them down?
If you can find the cabbage thrower, I'd be very grateful.
Well, it's hello@cpfpl.com. If you, if you want to confess to doing it, that would be fine. But if you think you know who the person who threw the cabbage was, Steve Bruce, then get in touch. I'd completely forgotten about that incident. It's one of the things that it's a mad thing to get into a game, isn't it? A cabbage. Once you've got the cabbage in, there's no way you're not throwing it.
Where'd you put the cabbage, though? I mean, it's a,
yeah.
I mean, also, yeah, it packs a punch. I mean, it's probably, I mean, if it was a Savoy cabbage, that'd be, you know, that's a bit sort of flappier. But a white cabbage,
a purple cabbage,
that packs a punch. I mean, I think it's probably the third most dangerous thing to lob after, well, it's a toss-up otherwise between a Swede and a butternut squash.
Oh, Swede is a good shot. I was thinking watermelon, but I've made the classic mistake of going for size, not density.
Yeah.
And as soon as you said Swede.
But butternut squash probably isn't as dense as a Swede, but, I mean, it's like wood, isn't it, knocking on? I mean, I wouldn't like one of those.
I tell you what I feel with a butternut squash as well. You could grip it at the base almost like a sort of American football and go over the arm and get a spin on it. I think in terms of distance, you could probably get the furthest lob on a butternut squash.
Or small and dense, you could go for a turnip.
I'll tell you what you've done. You've stumbled across here a game that Matt and I will play, and we'll put this to bed for you. I will meet him in an abandoned sports field with a range of hard vegetables. Yeah. And we will find out which can be tossed the furthest. We also, because we are in this FPL league, it's getting depressingly close now. So we set forfeits for each other on sort of failure. I'm usually fairly confident Matt's going to lose, but it's actually 5-4 now. Do you have any suggestions for a forfeit for whichever one of us finishes bottom this season?
I think it would be to cook a butternut squash. Using only your bare hands. So you've got, but obviously you've got, I'll give you a pan. I'll give you whatever oil or butter or garlic you want. But you've got to get inside that butternut squash without the benefit of a sledgehammer or a knife or anything like that.
I tell you what, I could interview 1,000 people on this podcast and not one of them would I say that they would suggest a forfeit to be penetrating a butternut squash using only your bare hands. It's ingenious.
There is a way to do it, by the way. You can roast them whole in the oven and it does soften the skin, but I'm not allowing you to do that. You've only got a stovetop pan to cook.
Got to get into it raw.
You've got to get into it raw. I mean, you might try throwing it off a high building, but then it would splat.
Yeah, and then, you know, you've got to make sure there's no one around.
Yeah. Or, yeah, I mean, you can take somebody out. I mean, it might be Steve Bruce walking past, but you can't be, you know, that would be an extraordinary coincidence.
Good luck to West Brom. I hope they bring you some joy this season. I hope things turn around.
Don't be silly. Come on. But anyway, football always ends in misery. This is what we don't understand. It always ends in misery. You know, every season, you know, about four supporters of about four, well, maybe half a dozen teams are happy. Look, Man City finished. I feel sorry for Man City fans. They end up finishing second. It's going to feel like the end of the world. Imagine what that's like.
Yeah. Well, let's end with that's a lovely moment to end on. Commiserations to all Man City supporters.
Yeah.
And we share in your pain. Thanks so much for coming on and see you soon.
Cheers, mate. Anytime.
That's all we've got time for this episode. We'll be back later in the week with another.
Bye. Oh, before we fully say bye.
Bye.
Do leave a 5-star written review. And don't forget, head to anotherslice.com/CPFPL. I think that's the right address for extra goodies. And when we put the live date on sale, Another Slice subscribers get priority on tickets.
And I think you said you'd kiss them all on the way in, wouldn't you, and buy them their first drink?
Oh, I'm happy to buy someone a pint.
Okay.
I'll stick a couple of quid behind the bar for Another Slice. What do we call them? Another Slicers?
Yeah, the slice crew. That sounds a bit like sort of people who'd be described as intense.
Yeah, the Slice crew sounds like a kind of a gang.
Yeah, we don't want that, do we?
Yeah,
do we?
The Walsall Slice crew, you're like, oh my God, they're feared.
Yeah.
So maybe it's more, You know what? I always like the kind of the Diamond Club, you know, the sort of platinum, and you know, when they try and make like different tiers of membership sound very exclusive.
Okay, then. The Slice Club.
The Slice Club?
Yeah.
Platinum Slice? Platinum Slices? Slice?
We'll work
slice,
on it.
Slice Girls?
Oh, yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah, the Slice Girls.
All right.
And then it's kind of got a, you know, it's got a...
You can tweet at ComediansFPL. You can email hello@cpfpl.com. We're on Instagram, ComediansPlayingFPL, and Facebook, ComediansFPL. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
John, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Excellent. I've got some very exciting news.
You've ordered me a new chair.
No, better. We've been approached to make our very own CPFPL beer to accompany the podcast with Leeds' very own Kirkstall Brewery. I think we should open it up to the listeners to suggest. Get in touch. What should the comedians playing FPL beer taste like? Email us at hello@cpfpl.com with some suggestions. And for a bit of inspiration, Kirkstall are known for their delicious cask beers like Three Swords and Dissolution, as well as modern hoppy beers like Virtuous and Judicious. So what should it be like? Should it be dark and bitter like John's soul? Or should it be light and positive, sparkling and popular like one of my mates? As well as brewing great beer, they also own some of the best pubs in West Yorkshire, like the Kirkstall Bridge Inn and the Cardigan Arms in Leeds, the Sparrow Beer Cafe in Bradford, and their own tap room at the brewery on Kirkstall Road. I'm going to do a pub crawl around all of them. Listeners can get 20% off everything on Kirkstall's online shop with the code CPFPL20, and look out for a very special collaboration beer from us and Kirkstall very soon. Just visit the website kirkstallbrewery.com and click on shop. You know what I really keep laughing at?
Listen up.
Really?
The kid is running about. Listen up.
Really funny.
Where's that
really
from?
Really makes me laugh.
Listen. Where's that from?
You just said it generic. To me the other day. You impersonated me telling a woman not to swear the other week. Laura keeps saying it as well. It's really like, it's become a bit of a meme in our house.
Oh, lovely.
Kiddies running about.
Kiddies running about.
In front of the little ones. Listen.
Absolutely zero recollection of that whatsoever.
Kiddies running about.
The way you say listen to it's so funny.
Listen up.
Oh.